It's the Mike Tech Show, show number 391. This show is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. Please visit techpodcast.com. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the podcast. I am your host, Mike Smith. Thank you very much for downloading and subscribing to the show. Please visit the main website at miketechshow.com. You can email me questions and suggestions for future show topics. My email address is miketechshow@gmail.com. You can leave me a voicemail message. I have two voicemails for tonight. The phone number is 240-949-2450, and that's Mike Tech Show, all one word, on Skype. You can follow me on Twitter, twitter.com/Mike Tech Show, and also Facebook, facebook.com/Mike Tech Show. I have a huge show planned. I have lots to talk about. Before I do anything, if you were with me in the post show last week live, I had to abruptly sign off because our dog, Bear, who's 8 years old, he's half golden retriever, half chow. A lot of you have met him in the post show. He was in a state of a terrible coughing fit, and it was very, very difficult. I mean, he was just throwing up. It was real bad. And he had been sick for a week. He was on some meds and just not working. I had to sign off and help out. Well, that was Thursday night. On Saturday, took him to a different vet, actually, and he was had blood work and x-rays, and he was diagnosed with megaesophagus and pneumonia, and he had to be put to sleep. That was just devastating on the family. So we've been battling that this week. This has been my week from hell with a whole bunch of other things happening on top of this. Going to get through the show, and I don't want to bring everybody down. That was very, very sad, and we had a very tough time dealing with it. We're still having a tough time dealing with it. I just wanted to let everybody know, I received a couple emails. Some people were concerned because they knew, you know, what was happening. Something was going on, and I had to abruptly, you know, shut down. Thank everybody for your kind words and responses. I really appreciate it. I know personally, I thought I was immune to feelings like this, and I'm not. I am human, and it is very, very difficult to deal with a pet that's part of the family as a loss. And I have greater appreciations now for anybody who has a pet and you go through that. You know what we're going through. Let's get with the show. And when it comes to running a successful business, there are many things you have to get right, like hiring good people. But one thing is often overlooked, and that's protecting the data that powers your business. Did you know that 12,000 laptops are lost or stolen at airports every single week? Even a single incident of data loss isn't cheap. It can cost $10,000 or more to recover data from a single laptop or server. Businesses of all sizes and consumers use Mosey Pro to back up everything from emails, contacts, important documents, to family pictures and music. It's automatic and it works. One advertising executive's company lost an entire bank of servers, which nearly brought their business to its knees. Then he found Mosey Pro. He says, "I was shocked at how fast it works, and their people know how to work with Macs." Mosey Pro business backup plans are affordable, and there are no contracts to sign or hardware to buy. Give our friends at Mosey a call. They've been doing this for a long time and run the most secure, most trusted online backup service. Right now, you can save 15% by using promo code PODCAST15. Call 877-669-9776. That's 877-669-9776. 9776 or visit mozypro.com. That's mozypro.com. The first topic has to be SOPA and what happened yesterday, where Wikipedia went dark, Google supported it. There's a lots of support on the internet. I support the, and when we say support, we don't support the bill, the SOPA bill. We support being against it and making sure this gets killed and this does not pass. So one of the things that I did was when I went to Wikipedia, I entered my zip code and it took me to my congresswoman's website, Allison Schwartz, and I wrote a letter saying my, you know, being anti-SOPA, and I just received tonight this response from my congresswoman. Dear Mr. Smith, as I work to address the needs and concerns of American families and businesses across the 13th Congressional District, it is important that I hear your views. While many of you continue to face difficult decisions and may feel like Washington isn't listening, I want you to know that I always take your views into consideration as I work to make the right decisions to revitalize our economy, invest in our future, and meet our obligations. Yes, this is a form letter, but I want you to hear what her views are, though. I appreciate you taking the time to contact my office, and I wanted to share my views on the Stop Online Piracy Act, which is SOPA, and its Senate counterpart, the Protect Intellectual Property Act, which is PIPA. In an effort to combat the growing trend of intellectual property violations in the United States, and the federal government should enact strong laws and ensure that our law enforcement agencies have the tools and resources to combat intellectual property violations. Such violations include the illegal download of music, television programs, this isn't sounding good, right? Movies, books, and purchase of knockoff goods or pharmaceuticals on the street or on the internet. However, it is critical that laws to prevent and prosecute piracy of intellectual property recognize the importance of protecting innovation and individual right to free speech and use of creative materials and access to information. SOPA and PIPA go too far. Were either of these bills to become law as introduced, websites that rely on user-generated content would be subject to onerous monitoring requirements to the point that they would be forced to shutter vibrant online communities. Additionally, some of the more technical provisions in the legislation as currently written, aimed at preventing access to rogue sites, have already been circumvented by determined content pirates and hackers, and therefore are neither effective nor enforceable. While intellectual property crimes such as counterfeiting and piracy have cost our economy billions of dollars, thousands of jobs, and can threaten the health and well-being of consumers by exposing them to dangerous and defective products, I do not support SOPA or PIPA in their current form. Given the tremendous feedback on this legislation, my expectation is that the language will be modified before it is brought before the full House for a vote. Please know that I will scrutinize any changes to the bill to ensure that the right balance is struck between the concerns outlined above. Thank you for contacting me. Please do not hesitate to reach out to me in the future for more information or if I can be of help in any way. I will continue to work on your behalf to ensure the federal government is fiscally responsible, accountable, and responsible to my constituents. Sincerely, Congresswoman Allison Schwartz. I'm glad that she doesn't support it with its current language, which I don't think anybody can reasonably support the way it is currently written. Are they going to be able to construct a rewrite or language that is going to be okay, that we will be able to say, hey, I agree with that language. I'm not sure. I'm not sure that the government's capable of writing such a bill or such a law to be able to enforce it and to be able to construct the language in a way that they can still protect free speech and innovation. I don't think they can. Let's see what happens, but I just wanted to share what my current congresswoman is doing. I think that's the best way to fight this is you got to write and respond to your current people that represent you, and you got to stay on top of them, because if you're a registered voter, you're a vote, and it's the only way to fight back and to make sure that your voice is heard, because you elect them. And if they don't agree with you, then we'll vote them out of office and we'll put someone else there that does represent our views and opinions. Want to welcome GoToMeeting back as a sponsor. With everyone working on the go, holding an impromptu meeting can be virtually impossible. Not anymore. With GoToMeeting by Citrix, you can host your meeting online from your computer while your attendees join from any computer or device, an iPad, an iPhone, an Android mobile device. With the free GoToMeeting app, anyone can attend your online meeting sessions. They just tap the email invitation and they'll instantly join. It's that easy. I highly recommend GoToMeeting. It will change the way you work. I want you to try GoToMeeting free today. Go to the App Store or Android Market to download the free app and start joining GoToMeeting sessions from anywhere. And host your own meetings with a free 30-day trial. Visit GoToMeeting.com, click on the Try It Free button, and use the promo code PODCAST. Speaking of great apps, I have an app that if you have an iPad and you don't have this installed, install this immediately. And it is called On Live. But before you download it, go to the website. I'll have the link in the show notes. And when you go to the website, sign up for a free account. They'll send you an email and then you have to verify. Once you have your account, now go to the App Store, download it on your iPad, and it is a complete free virtual Windows 7 with Office 2010, the full Office, right at your fingertips, and it's free. This was brought to my attention by Greg with the following email. Have you seen the new On Live app for the iPad? It provides a virtual Windows 7 machine complete with Office and a few other apps completely free. Keep on trucking. And this is Greg, and it was sent from his iPad. Greg, thank you so much for putting me on to that utility. And I know if you have not heard of this, you're going to love it. It's one of those required must-have apps. This is from Maxwell, and the topic, getting started with podcasting. Hello, I'm an almost totally blind person who wants to start a video and audio podcast to promote my website. I'm using a MacBook laptop with VoiceOver. I have no budget and no experience. I've been Googling the subject and listening to a lot of YouTube videos, but I'm still confused. Could you please tell me what hardware and software you use to create your podcast? And you could point me to any good tutorials on the subject. Any help would be greatly appreciated. Take care. And this is Max Ivy Jr. Max, great question. And I have to find out what podcasting books have been transcribe to audio. Are any out there? If there are, let me know so I can pass this on. That would be one of my first choices. To start a podcast, you have built-in microphone, you have the camera that's built into the MacBook, you have a computer, you have an internet connection, you have a website. You're almost totally there. You now need the software to bring it all together for you to record. Now, I'm going to help you with the audio portion because I'm still experimenting and learning the video sides. Right now, I use Audacity, and there is Audacity for the Mac. So you can download that free open source program, and it is phenomenal. And I've used, or I've tried, very expensive audio programs, and I keep coming back to Audacity because it is so versatile. It is so easy to use. Once you install it, you just click and start recording. The most important advice that I could give you is content. It's all about content. And whatever your topic's going to be, whatever you're going to be discussing in your podcast, make sure that it's coming from the heart and you have the passion that when you talk about your topic, your material, that you are very passionate about that. It will come through. I know because you have a Mac, you have GarageBand built in. I'm not a GarageBand fan, the software. I found it a little more difficult to work with than I was hoping. And I guess if I was using instruments or different for recording, I'd probably like it. But for just doing the audio portion of my podcast, I didn't like GarageBand. You may like it, and you have that installed with your iLife. But I think Audacity will do a great job, and maybe start out with the audio podcast first, then work your way into recording. Now, I'm going to put a link to all of the details of what I'm using for my podcast. Now, my hardware gets very complex very quick. I have a nice Mackie mixer. I have a DBX266XL compressor, and a lot more audio equipment where I have all of that connected via FireWire to my computer, and then I use Ustream as the conduit to deliver the video and the audio to everybody who's listening to me right now live. But at the same time, Audacity's running right in front of me, and it's recording my audio. And then I have a backup where I have my Tascam recorder. It's a little portable recorder that's also recording everything to an SD card in case I have a power failure or there's some kind of problem. That will continue to run because it's also battery operated. And then I can cleanly shut down and save so that all of this that I'm recording is not lost. I also like editing the audio in Audacity. It's very easy. Once you have your recording, if it's not loud enough, you can highlight everything, and then you go to the effect option, and you can amplify. You can compress after you're done, and that will help to compress the audio, and makes it sharper, makes it cleaner. You can normalize in case you go too high or too low. There's lots of software effects that you can add after you're done recording. I don't have to go back and mess with a lot of that because I have all that in the hardware. So you can take care of it two ways. You have all the hardware like I have that takes care of the compression, takes care of all the amplification that I need, or you can do it post-production in your software. Now, the built-in mic from the Mac may not be as good as you really would want. So if you're going to make a first investment in any hardware in doing a podcast, this is for anybody, not just Macs who wrote in, begin with the microphone. And that's what I began with. I got a good microphone, and the Shure SM58 is the microphone that I am using. It was recommended by not only some musicians, but it's a good vocal mic. It's rock solid. I've had it now for almost 7 years, and it is phenomenal. I have, it's a $100 mic, and I have had $500 mics that I've borrowed to test recording, and I didn't find it any better. I mean, I found this $100 mic running circles around mics that were 5-6 times more expensive. So it's not all about spending a lot of money. It's spending it smartly, getting the right equipment. So get a good, inexpensive microphone, and now you'll have good audio quality. Your MacBook is going to be fine recording this. Now, you do have the camera, so you could get started with a nice free Ustream account and start doing what I'm doing, which is recording on Ustream. They offer you free recording so you can record your video while you're recording the audio portion of your podcast. The next thing, which gets a little more technical, is getting the RSS feed and then promoting. And that is a much harder, longer discussion. So first, start getting the recording done. And then what we'll do is write me and we'll have another discussion on getting it posted up. And in the meantime, that's where we need a good audiobook for you, which would describe the process of building the RSS feed and getting that audio and getting it posted up. Now, your website there, if you use an example like WordPress, there's the Blueberry PowerPress add-in to the WordPress. It's a plugin that helps you get your podcast posted. There's lots of good plugins that work with WordPress and other content management systems. So I don't know your website and what you're using at the back end, but look for add-ins to your content manager. Those add-ins, those plugins might and extensions might be able to help you. If there's a podcast one, will help you post and get your podcast out there. You have to be on iTunes. That's required. So that's free and easy to set up. And some of the plugins will actually step you through creating that. So this way, once you get listed in iTunes, now you have a link that you can share with everybody so they can subscribe to your podcast or just your regular blog feed from your website. I don't know where you're hosting with, but your podcast, if it's hosted, you can start putting it on your shared hosting. And then as you get popular and as the downloads happen, you can transfer that to another service to hosting your podcast. I use Libsyn, and I've been using them for years, and that helps really save a lot of money in a way to get my podcast media out there without affecting the bandwidth of my hosting company. So I can keep the cost down of producing the podcast. That's my recommendations, and hopefully that's a help. Max, please, please continue to let me know your progress. And I encourage you and anyone who's doing a podcast, produce a 30-second promo. As long as your podcast is family-friendly and not vulgar or not, you know, as long as it's family-friendly, send me a promo no longer than 30 seconds, and I will play the promo on my show. Next email is a question about an iPhone. Hi, Mike. I got a new computer, and now I need to get my iTunes from my old PC to the new PC. My iPhone is no longer under warranty with Apple, so I'm not sure about how to get help from them. You know what? You don't need help. We're going to help you right now. Do you have any details or a website that I can go to find the steps to get the new PC and have the data that is on the old PC on iTunes? Thanks so much, and great work on your podcast. And this is Lisa from Florida. Lisa, it's very easy. You go to your old computer, and in your documents and settings, the name that you use for your profile for logging onto the system, you click, and under music or under My Music, keep drilling down and there'll be an iTunes directory. And under that, there will be some subdirectories and a listing of all the music that you have in your library. Copy that to an external drive. Literally just copy the whole iTunes directory and copy it over to the external drive. Now, go back to your new computer and put that in the same area of My Music. Now, if you're going from XP to Windows 7, it'll be a little different. Instead of documents and settings, it'll be users. So go under users, go under your profile, and where you have My Music, go put the iTunes directory. Copy it right back right under there. Install iTunes. Authorize iTunes. Go back to your old computer. If you're not going to use your old computer anymore, deauthorize. Go into iTunes and deauthorize iTunes. Now go back to your new computer in the new iTunes. Make sure it's authorized, like I said. Then go to Edit Preferences. Go to Advanced. And make sure where the iTunes Media folder location, change that. And make sure that it's pointing to the iTunes Media Directory or the directory where all of your music is now being listed. It will then ask you if it wants to, I'm not sure of the exact question, but there's a question I think that does it want you to go through and organize all the music to set it all up. After you've made this change to where your media is, say yes. It'll go through and it will kind of revitalize the library for iTunes to make sure it's all pointing to the new location. Depending on how big your library is, it will take some time to go through this, but it's an easy process. You don't have to call Apple. Let me know how you made out. And I've done this for people, and it has worked perfectly. So do not worry. As long as you have access to that old computer and your iTunes library, you're not going to have a problem. Just follow my steps. Let's get to the two voicemails here. Give a listen.
Hi, Mike. Patrick in Springfield. I heard last week's show, Peter called and was saying there's a problem with WPS, and he's right. WPS is not an encryption method like WPA or WPA2 or WEP. It's a way of semi-automatically linking up a wireless device with a wireless router. What's been discovered is that it's not very secure, so even if someone does not have your router's administrative password, they can still get into your network using that weak WPS PIN. Again, it's not a method of encryption, and it doesn't matter if they have your router password or not. So something to look into. Steve Gibson and Leo Laporte had a good show, Security Now, one of their recent shows. I'm sure you can find it in their show notes at grc.com/SN. But thanks for your show. Have a good week.
Patrick, thank you for your comment. Yes, we don't like WPS and the PIN. I don't even activate that on any of the routers. It is not secure. The best way is don't even use that and make sure you're using WPA2 and getting a good password that's 8 characters. And that's the recommendation here. Give a listen to this about backing up, something I never thought about here.
Hey, Mike, this is Alan Nation here in Seattle. I was just listening to some of your old shows and hearing you talk about backing up Outlook data and live mail data and other backups like that. I just wanted to mention, I ran across an issue with a client where I was taking his data off his old laptop and putting it on a new laptop. And he used MSN browser and used the IE, our Internet Explorer browser. And I got his MSN email off of where it stores it, but I didn't realize that MSN stores favorites in a separate location than your Internet Explorer does. So he was looking at both those programs and wondering why did the Internet Explorer have all the favorites and MSN didn't have any. So ended up being he didn't really care about his MSN, but if you are working with a client that uses MSN heavily, they might have those favorites in the two different locations. Thanks for the great show, Mike. Like listening to it every week.
Thank you. What a great reminder. I don't even think of MSN as a real browser. He is absolutely right. When you're backing up somebody's settings, you got to make sure what browser are they using. It. Usually when I ask someone, they don't know. They don't know they're using MSN versus Internet Explorer versus Firefox. A lot of my clients have no idea. When I ask them, what browser are you using? They look at me like a deer in the headlights. They don't know what I'm talking about. They don't know the word browser. And they don't know what, they have no idea of whose it is. They just know they go on the internet, they connect, and this is the icon they click. So this is, I know Kate would agree with me here. If the system is up and running and you're migrating them, ask them to demonstrate how they get on the internet and watch where they go and they connect and see what they click. And I think that's the best way to figure out, okay, what are they using? And then just concentrate on that program and make sure you're backing up all the settings and the favorites from that program. You can't beat watching the client connect and let them demonstrate. Here's a good question, and this is from Mike, and it's about Windows 7 clone. I'm having trouble cloning my son's Windows 7 drive, and I'm just about pulling my hair out. Windows started complaining that the drive was in imminent danger of failing, so I ordered a new one, same size, and cloned it using Acronis. The clone was successful, so I installed the new drive, but it wouldn't boot. Windows gave some error that the hardware has changed and the current drive wasn't set up properly. I checked the drive and active partitions and that there was one that was bootable. After some Googling, I found some suggestions that I should use the Windows 7 backup and restore utility to create a system repair disk and system image. I created the image and booted the repair disk. I selected the location of the image, the external hard drive, and started the restore. After a few seconds, it stopped with an error telling me the image restore failed. No disk that could be used for recovering the system disk can be found. I then Googled this, and the suggestion was to use the shrink command on the old drive in the Windows Disk Manager. I did this, but now I cannot even create a new system image. What is your method for cloning Windows 7 hard drives? Well, you use the two methods that I recommend. I use Acronis, True Image, Home. Matter of fact, I still use the version 2009, and it works fine. And I've also used Windows 7 and the built-in one backup program that comes with Windows 7 and have successfully created images. I'm wondering, the new disk that you're putting in, after you get an image, first off, does it create the image with no errors? It sounds like it is. And did you get a clean backup image with Windows 7? If you did, and you have your recovery disk, then I want you to take your disk, the new disk, and reformat it. Reformat the disk. Repartition it. Make sure it's just totally one partition and all set up, and then try to redo the recovery. It sounds like there may be a problem with your target disk. You may have to try another one. That's what it's sounding like. I'm not sure if that's the problem. If you can, run Crystal Disk Info on the new disk that you bought and make sure there are no errors. So attach that as a secondary disk, run Crystal Disk Info, and make sure the target disk has no errors. Because it's sounding to me like there's a problem with the target disk, and that's what's giving you the trouble. And if you can, buy another one where you could return it, just in case if this isn't the case, just to get another disk in the mix here, in case the new one could be bad. It's very possible. Let me know how you make out. You're approaching everything properly. There's no magic in there. You got a Cronus. You've used the Windows 7 disk image. You should be able to get an image out of that. This is from Dennis. I like this. I'm still addicted to your show. Your podcast is one that I have to listen to at the right time and place, so I sometimes have to do some catching up. For passwords, I've been using a code to create a password for each site. The code is based on the website URL. If I need to enter my password, I look at the site name, i.e. MikeNation.net, and enter the coded password for that site. The coded password will have the uppercase, lowercase, and numbers. The code may include the number of letters in the site name, the last vowel, the first letter that is also in your own name, etc. Then mix and match until you have one complete code that you can remember. For sites that require other characters, I use different coded passwords, which may not be allowed for all sites. Thanks for the wealth of information. What a great idea. This is from Slash. Great idea. Very, very good. This is more complicated, and it's from Mark. And he says, a password system to prevent password reuse. Below, I've pasted a password system that I recommend for my clients so they do not reuse passwords. This is a long process that here's what I'm going to do. I will cut and paste that and save it as a text file. I will upload it to my website and put the link in the show notes so you will have this whole system that Mark recommended. He has another email, and this is, considering the past few episodes of the Mike Tech Show was covering web hosting, I thought I would pass along information about a service that I use to monitor my web host site. And it's Pingdom, www.pingdom.com. And it offers several plans to monitor not only uptime, but also response time from multiple locations from around the globe. Since all of my websites are on the same server, I just use their free account to monitor one of my sites. I get email alerts when my site goes down and up, and I use the iPhone app to get a picture of how my host is performing. As you can see in the screenshot below, he sent me the screenshots, my web host has not been doing well lately, but I recently found out that they are switching to Cloud Linux, which is supposed to improve reliability and speed. Like you, I had an issue about a week ago where my sites became inaccessible due to permission changes that were not done by me. Fortunately, the issue was resolved within minutes of submitting a trouble ticket to support. I asked if it was likely the work of a hacker. They suggested that it was not, but likely a script that was running. Keep up the good work and hope it's a good year for you. Thank you, Mark, and boy, I hope the year starts to get better. Have music, and I've a couple choices lined up. This is the one I'm picking to play, and this is by Anna Nalik. The song is called Breathe. Give a listen, and then I'll be back to wrap up.
2 a.m. and she calls me because I'm still awake. Can you help me unravel my latest mistake? I don't love him. Winter just wasn't my season. Yeah, we walk through the door so accusing their eyes like they have any right at all to criticize hypocrites. You're all here for the very same reason. Cause you can't jump the track. We're like cars on a cable and life's like an hourglass glued to the table. No one can find the rewind button, girl. So cradle your head in your hands and breathe, just breathe. Oh, breathe, just breathe. May he turn 21 on the bed. since maybe October of last year. Here in town you can tell he's been down for a while, but my God, it's so beautiful when the boy smiles, wanna hold him. Maybe I'll just sing about it, 'cause he can't jump the track, we're like cars on a cable, and life's like an hourglass glued to the table. No one can find the rewind button, boys, so cradle your head in your hand. And breathe, just breathe. Oh, breathe, just breathe. There's a light at each end of this tunnel you shall, 'cause you're just as far in as you'll ever. If you only try turning around. 2 a.m. and I'm still awake writing a song. If I get it all down on paper, it's no longer inside of me, threatening the life it belongs to. And I feel like I'm naked in front of the crowd, 'cause these words are my diary screaming out loud, and I know that you'll use them however you want to. But you can't jump the track, we're like cars on a cable, and life's like an hourglass glued to the table. No one can find the rewind button now. You sing it if you understand. And breathe, just breathe. Oh, breathe, just breathe. Oh, breathe, just breathe.
That is Anna Nalick and the song Breathe, 2 a.m. And I will have a link where you can purchase her music from Amazon.com. If you do any purchasing for anything at Amazon, please remember to use my link, amazon.mikenation.net, or go to miketechshow.com/Amazon. The Amazon link on the left-hand side of my website. Now you got to scroll further down because of the sponsors ads. But please use that link, recommend it, send it to anybody you know that's using Amazon. And I thank you so much for your continued support of using my link and supporting the show. I greatly appreciate it. That's it for tonight's show. I will be back same time, same channel next week. The week after, the schedule's going to change a little bit, and I will be doing a show Wednesday night instead of Thursday night, and that'll be February 1st. But next Thursday, I will be back. That's it. Bye-bye, everybody.
You've been listening to The Mike Tech Show, a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. Please visit techpodcast.com.